some music sent to us this morning from Ukraine. Joseph Lindsley, tell us about this.
Hello, Bob, from a sunny, cold day here in Kyiv. And this is a French composer, Eric Satie, his Gymnopedia number one. And I chose to share it with you all because on Saturday, I was running through a Kyiv park near the famous golden-domed monastery of St. Michael. There's a massive statue of St. Vladimir the Great overlooking a ridge where you can see the mighty Dnipro River, the neighborhoods, the forests, the beaches of the city of Kyiv. Very peaceful scene. And I heard this music, and although it was about 40 degrees, so quite chilly, there was a young woman sitting at an outdoor piano, which is kind of common in Kyiv to see outdoor pianos. It's a very musical city. And she was playing this tune, and people were walking by, or, you know, some stopped to listen to the music. And it was such a nice scene of calm, civilized life, you know, despite the darkness all around. And you see, you know, two things to look at that, both, you know, sort of the joy of life, but also the fact that it's getting colder. And actually, the past 2 days, Sunday and today, it was high. It was in the morning, it was about 25 degrees. So it is definitely cold here. I just heard from volunteers down in the south, in the city of Kherson, which is under such frequent shelling. Down south, it's covered in snow. And so we are, you know, winter has begun, and still Russia has not been able to begin these, you know, expected regular Ukrainian infrastructure attacks. In many places throughout Ukraine, I would say actually almost in every major city, there's power, electricity, cell service, but generators remain at the ready if there is some major infrastructure attack. And even though still the Russians have not launched a major nationwide missile attack on Ukraine, it doesn't mean that they're not, you know, the Russians are not doing anything. Indeed, they were very busy over the weekend. On both Friday night and Saturday night into the early hours of Sunday, the Russians sent dozens of groups of Iranian suicide drones throughout Ukraine. You know, it's sort of, as I always call it, it's a sort of dance macabre. You're sitting there, wherever you are in the country, watching the alerts, and the drones are maneuvering, sneaking through the forest and fields throughout this vast country. Really, you could describe it as harassment. Saturday night was very foggy in Kyiv, and I'm here in the center of the city, and we had reports that drones were approaching from the north, the south, the east, the west, everywhere. What they do is they change course, and some of them can't be detected until they get very close. And the alarms began to ring out here in the city of Kyiv. We had reports that drones are moving down, flying over the Dnipro River, approaching the capital. And, you know, as you look out in the fog of the city, you can see the searchlights around the perimeter of the city, you know, frantically looking for incoming drones. And you really can feel, you know, that the whole capital is under attack. And then we began to hear a succession of low thuds, which was the air defense at work. And really, it was remarkable. I mean, really, they did an exquisite job of protecting the city. All those drones that were sent directed toward Kyiv were swatted away before they could hit the city. And so you have this madness of these midnight drones maneuvering. To really think about, you know, what possesses someone to say, oh, at midnight, I'm going to send a fleet of drones to try to destroy people in a sleeping city. And that's exactly what Russia is doing with these Iranian drones. And, you know, you feel these little sort of, I mean, they're made in Iran, you know, a regime that is allied with Russia, and these little eyes of Sauron, you know, traversing the Ukrainian countryside, seeking their targets. You know, it also seems that likely the Russians are trying to test the system. They're looking for future targets if they do start to have these major missile attacks again. But one thing that was very clear is that because of the weapons from the West, Kyiv at least, is incredibly well protected. And we felt that here on both Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah, I was thinking about that this summer, as you've spoken about that, Joseph. We're worried about bees or mosquitoes around here, and you got drones flying over your head. And there's also a very interesting story about radio signals being used to overwhelm communication links to drones. There is electronic warfare going on there, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, both sides. And, you know, I mean, it's always a rush to to innovate more and more. And at the very beginning, Ukrainians were much more innovative when it came to electronic warfare and drones, because it was sort of a free society. There was a lot of tech industry here. There still is. But the Russians have started, unfortunately, to catch up with that. Often we have, while we haven't had major Russian missile attacks throughout Ukraine, they very often are simulated launches. So everyone will think that there are missiles coming your way, and then it turns out those were false targets. And all of this is meant to test and confuse the system. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I saw the, we see the news in Argentina of the new president, Javier Milei. And it's interesting for two reasons. One, he is very pro-Ukrainian. He brought the Ukrainian flag to the Argentinian Congress. He said those who support the ideas of freedom cannot tolerate or support an invasion like Russia has done in Ukraine. And this is interesting because I think many people in America who are applauding Milei do not support Ukraine. It was a similar situation with when Giorgia Meloni became prime minister of Italy, some of the Trump supporters in America who wanted to like Giorgia Meloni, or they wanted to like the new Argentinian president, they really are deeply opposed to Ukraine. But if you look clearly at this new president in Argentina, he's been clear about standing up to both Beijing and to Moscow. But in another sort of strange twist here, I just found out over the weekend that over a month ago, the United States agreed gave permission for the Kingdom of Denmark to send F-16 fighter jets, not to Ukraine, but to Argentina, which is not at war, not under any major threat. They're going to send, I think it's 24 F-16s from Denmark, which is more than Denmark is going to give to Ukraine. And those still haven't arrived yet, sometime in the future in 2024. But this is a very curious thing that no one talked about. But why would, with all the rhetoric about supporting Ukraine, why would you be sending F-16s to Argentina?
Good question. One other quick thought for you, Joseph. Over the weekend, I heard a lot of people debating about what should happen if that terrible war between Israel and Hamas ever ends. And nobody knows what to do the day after. And there, where you are in Ukraine, I guess that's not a problem. When your war ends, you get your country back, don't you?
Yeah, I think that it would be very clear. And I think, the question that maybe people in the West are uncomfortable thinking about, that day of the war ending means that Russia is totally defeated and demilitarized. That there has to be a commitment, and as President Zelensky has laid out in his peace plan, which is agreed to by especially the countries that are near Russia, that Russia has to leave all of the Ukrainian territory and actually pay reparations for the damage it's caused. And obviously it's a bit more difficult because with Israel and Hamas is a tip of the spear point of people who want the destruction of Israel all around the world. And so that is a very different situation.
Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. I hope things remain calm there for you, Joseph, and maybe the weather will warm up, too. We'll talk tomorrow.
Till tomorrow. Thank you, Bob.